Well, good evening, friends. We extend you all a warm welcome as we come to worship the Lord this evening. If you are visiting amongst us, we extend you a very warm welcome. It's great to have Micah with us. We'll see him a bit later, but he's flown in yesterday from Atlanta, Georgia, and will be serving us here as an intern for the next 6 to 7 weeks. So welcome, Micah, and we pray that the Lord will use you as you're amongst us. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Father, we thank you for the joy of knowing you. We thank you for this time that we can come together on this Sunday evening to worship you. And Lord, we pray that you might speak and minister into our hearts and into our circumstances. We pray, Heavenly Father, that all that is said and done will glorify your holy and precious name. And Lord, we pray that you might save those that need saving and just encourage us tonight as we come to worship you. May we know the aid of your Spirit, and we sit under the ministry of your word. We pray that we might be receptive and obedient to your voice. So hear us and help us. Lord, bless those who join us live from home, and for those who are laid aside in sickness at this time, we pray for them. We think of Diane this evening. We pray you'll encourage her as she recovers from hip surgery. And Lord, we pray for others who are housebound. And we pray that as they join us, we pray that they might know the help of the Lord Jesus Christ in all things. Forgive us of our many sins. And we ask and pray these things in the name which is above every name, the worthy, precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Mighty Christ from time eternal. 168, as we stand to sing. Amen. Just one or two announcements as we continue to worship the Lord together. There is always a cup of tea or a cup of coffee following our service this evening for you. So please remain behind for further fellowship together. And then for this coming week, God willing, 9 a.m. on Tuesday will be our Art and Craft Club. There will be prayer at 10:30 on Tuesday. That will precede the open-air witness in the city centre at 11:30. And then at 7:45 on Tuesday evening will be the church officers' prayer, church officers' meeting. 9:30 on Wednesday will be toddlers. 7:30 Wednesday evening will be an AECW cluster prayer meeting at Little Mill. So be mindful of that there'll be no prayer meeting here. We're at Little Mill on Wednesday. Thursday morning at 10:30 will be the women's Bible study. Friday at 4:30 will be Friday Rock for primary school age children. Saturday evening will be Blast for our teenagers, which brings us, God willing, to next Lord's Day, 10:30 in the morning, 6 in the evening. And God willing, I shall be ministering throughout the day. There is a communion service next Sunday morning, and the communion offering for this month will be for the Union School of Theology. 12:15 next Sunday will be Sunday Rock for children and Fab for our teenagers. Please continue to remember one another in your prayers. We've been praying for Glyn and for Judith and for Diane and for others who at this time need a touch from heaven. Now, Stephen, where's Stephen? Oh, there he is. He's going to read God's word for us. Thank you, Stephen.
Our reading for this evening will be taken from Leviticus chapter 14, verse 1 to 20. Leviticus chapter 14, verse 1 to 20. If you are using the Pew Bibles, you can find that on page 110. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, This shall be the law of the leprous person for the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought to the priest, and the priest shall go out of the camp, and the priest shall look. Then, if the case of the leprous disease is healed in the leprous person, the priest shall command them to take for him who is to be cleansed two live clean birds and cedar wood and scarlet yarn and hyssop. And the priest shall command them to kill one of the birds in an earthenware vessel over fresh water. He shall take the live bird with the cedar wood and the scarlet yarn and the hyssop and dip them and the live bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the fresh water. And he shall sprinkle it 7 times on him who is to be cleansed of the leprous disease. Then he shall pronounce him clean and shall let the living bird go into the open field. And he who is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes and shave off all his hair and bathe himself in water, and he shall be clean. And after that he may come into the camp, but leave outside his tent 7 days. And on the 7th day he shall shave off all his hair from his head, his beard and his eyebrows. He shall shave off all his hair, and then he shall wash his clothes and bathe his body in water, and he shall be clean. And on the 8th day he shall take 2 male lambs without blemish, and 1 ewe lamb, a year old without blemish, and a grain offering of 3/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil, and 1 log of oil. And the priest who cleanses him shall set the man who is to be cleansed and these things before the Lord at the entrance of the tent of meeting. And the priest shall take one of the male lambs and offer it for a guilt offering along with a log of oil and wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. And he shall kill the lamb in the place where they kill the sin offering and the burnt offering in the place of the sanctuary. For the guilt offering, like the sin offering, belongs to the priest. It is most holy. The priest shall take some of the blood of the guilt offering, and the priest shall put it on the lobe of the right ear of him who is to be cleansed, and on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot. Then the priest shall take some of the log of oil and pour it into the palm of his own left hand and dip his right finger in the oil that is in his left hand and sprinkle some oil with his finger seven times before the Lord. And some of the oil that remains in this hand, the priest shall put on the lobe of the right ear of him who is to be cleansed, and on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot, on top of the blood of the guilt offering. And the rest of the oil that is in the priest's hand, he shall put on the head of him who is to be cleansed. Then the priest shall make atonement for him before the Lord. The priest shall offer the sin offering to make atonement for him who is to be cleansed from his uncleanness. And afterward, he shall kill the burnt offering. And the priest shall offer the burnt offering and the grain offering on the altar. Thus, the priest shall make atonement for him, and he shall be clean. This is the word of God.
Amen. Thank you, Stephen. Let's pray, shall we please? Pray with me. Almighty God and Father in heaven, we thank you tonight that we do have a great high priest whose name is Love, who ever lives to intercede for us, your people. And Father, we thank you that as we've been meandering our way through this book of Leviticus, we thank you for the insight that you have given us. We thank you for the understanding that you have granted us. And Lord, we pray again that we might take a hold of your word, that we might live under its authority, that we might submit to it in our daily living. And Lord, we pray that with the help of your Spirit, that you might apply these truths to our lives, so that as we saw with the example of the balloon this morning, that we might grow, having been filled with your Spirit, that we might grow in the very likeness of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you tonight for our salvation in him. Lord, we take nothing for granted, and we pray that you might just encourage our hearts, help us as we look to him, the altogether lovely one, the one who is the fairest of 10,000 to our souls. He is indeed the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. And we pray that our relationship in him and with him and through him will flourish in these days. Lord, we ask that you might bless all the various ministries of this, your church. We pray for this coming week. We thank you for the challenges. And Lord, we know that we learn so much through the challenges, and that we are wholly dependent upon you for all things. Without you, we can accomplish nothing, but in you and through you and because of you, and then much can be accomplished for the glory of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the little ones, the babies and the toddlers. We thank you for the parents and grandparents who come on a Wednesday. We thank you for those who come on a Friday and on a Saturday evening, for the teenagers as well as the children on a Friday. And Lord, we thank you for every home and family that the gospel message goes back into. And we pray for these little ones that at a young age they might come to place their trust by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for those who come to the Art and Craft Club. We thank you for the ladies who meet regularly, for the men who gather. And Lord, we pray that you might bless our time in Little Mill on Wednesday evening. As we come together as a cluster of gospel churches, we pray that you will help us as we seek you. May we seek you. May we lift up this nation before you, that you might be pleased to pour out your Spirit in a mighty, transforming, life-transforming way. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity of outreach, and we thank you for the open airs, and we pray that you might continue to have your hand of blessing upon every word that's spoken in the open air, for those who give out tracts and Christian literature, for those opportunities of praying and encouraging many in this community. Lord, we pray that you might continue to to open fresh doors and new doors of opportunity, that we might just share with a dying world the unsearchable riches of Christ Jesus. We thank you for our partnership in the gospel with New Hope, and we thank you for the higher hope that we have in Christ. And we pray that Micah and the other three who are dotted around different churches in South Wales, that it will be a time of blessing to them, that you'll use this experience to help them grow in your grace and in your likeness. So, Lord, have mercy upon us. Lord, we know that unless you come amongst us tonight by your Spirit, then we meet in vain. So, Lord, please, we pray, may we sense your near presence. May we experience your peace. And may we be equipped this day to face the onslaught of a fresh and new week. So hear us and help us and have mercy upon us. Lord, for a nation that is spiritually bankrupt, we cry to you, we plead with you for mercy. And we thank you that you are a merciful God. So, Lord, hear us, we pray, and continue to be with us. And we ask and pray these things in the precious name of the living Lord Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Well, Micah, it's good to see you. And he's a little bit jet-lagged. He says he's okay, but a bit peaky around the eyes. Do you want to just come and why don't you just give him a welcome, I think. Now, we saw you last week on the screens.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I think you look better in the flesh.
I think so too.
There are good. He's handsome, isn't he? Makes you sick, really, doesn't it? Anyway, just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm 21 years old. I'm from Atlanta, Georgia. I went to school for criminology, like I said in the video. I know a couple of people are going to be upset, but I'm a Manchester United fan. Yeah. Go Reds. I love playing sports. I love playing soccer. I work with kids, so I love kids. yeah, it's just a little bit about me. Very energetic. I'm a people person. Love Jesus. Mature in my faith. I've been working with New Hope for a while now, like 13 years, ever since I was a kid. So I'm just super excited to be here, help you guys, be in the smaller community, a new culture, my first time out the country. So I'm just excited to get involved in the church and get accommodated with everything.
May I ask you a personal question?
Mm-hmm.
Why did you wait until after we accepted you on this trip, and then you made your confession that you're a Manchester United fan?
I didn't. To be honest, I didn't know you were a Liverpool fan.
I think something went wrong. Something went wrong in the selection process.
Oh my goodness!
Listen, it's great to have you with us. I'm going to pray for you now.
Okay.
And, tell us a little bit about family. Have you got brothers and sisters and things?
Yeah, I'm the youngest of three, actually. My siblings are very old. My sister's 29 and my brother is 41. So I basically grew up as an only child in the household. So, yeah, it was just really me and my mom and my dad. I'm a mama's boy, so really stick with my mom like this.
I'm a mom's boy. Yeah, there we are. Let me tell you now. 29 is not old, okay? That's really quite young, but yeah. I know what you mean. Can we pray for you?
Of course.
Yeah, let's pray. Let's pray for Micah. Lord, thank you for Micah. Thank you for saving his soul. And thank you, Lord, for giving him this opportunity of coming to a different country, different culture. And I pray that these weeks with us will be of huge significance in his life. There'll be hugely significant in his walk with you, that as he goes home in 2 months' time, that he'll go home a different man, a man that is drawn closer to you, and a man that has grown in his love for you. Lord, help us to be an encouragement to him, and Lord, I pray that we might learn from each other as we serve together in partnership for the glory of Jesus and for the sake of the gospel. Protect him and be with his parents and siblings back home who are perhaps wondering, where on earth has he gone? Will he ever come back? Well, we pray, Lord, that you will reassure them and help them to know that he is here because you have planned it. And I pray that this time will be a blessing for him and for his family. And we pray these things now in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 Thank you.
Thank you, brother. Well, should we sing again before we open God's word? What is our hope in life and death? Supplement 1, 2, 4. Well, please turn with me in your Bibles to Leviticus chapter 14. Now, I hope some of you have done your homework from last week in just reading the complete previous chapter. Something of we saw last week how God prescribes for the priest to diagnose those who have various skin complaints. And we basically saw that leprosy that's used here in this text and throughout Leviticus also includes various skin ailments. And so it was the provision, God's provision of the priest who would come and he would diagnose the various causes and would diagnose the prescribed treatment. Of course, we know that in its worst form, leprosy is deadly. And for those who contracted leprosy of its worst form, they faced a death by inch, day by day. And we know that throughout Scripture, leprosy is often a picture of our sin. And those that were pronounced unclean, then they lived outside the camp. They lived outside social life and community life. They were outside the camp. And it's that in mind that we come, knowing and realizing that God has allowed and given precise details so that the priest is able to make a diagnosis. We come to chapter 14. And really, tonight, the heart of this message is this: come inside. If you're pronounced clean, then there's a place for you in the house and home and kingdom of God. But you can only come inside if the priest has pronounced you clean. You can only come inside if you've approaching a holy God through the sacrifices that picture the Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight we are reminded that sin is serious and God is holy, and our sin will prevent us from knowing and enjoying God. Our sin will keep us from God's presence. Our sin is a barrier to enjoying God and all that he has in store for you and for me. And yet, the great news, it's the greatest news that this world could ever hear, that there is one who is able to deal with our sin, has dealt with our sin through his life, death and resurrection, and offers us the invitation as our great high priest to come inside. And so as we come to chapter 14, again, it's a long chapter, and we're not going to have time to deal with the whole chapter, but we are going to deal with really these opening verses that will show us something of God's grace and God's mercy. Read with me, chapter 14, verse 1. The Lord, again, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "This shall be the law of the leprous person for the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought to the priest." Now, we have to understand that often as the writer here, Moses, is referring to the leprous person, it could well be someone who has had a mild skin complaint, but for whatever reason, they find themselves an outcast, and so they're brought to the priest. Now, the priest will go out of the camp until there's a clear diagnosis, until the purification, the sacrifices for their purification takes place. Then they are residing outside the camp. And verse 3 is very interesting because it gives us the picture of the reality of the priest shall go out of the camp. He leaves the tabernacle and he goes outside the camp. And immediately we are, in our mind's eye, we're taken to someone else who goes outside the camp, who goes outside the confines of the camp or a city. There was one who went outside the city wall, the Lord Jesus Christ. He was willing to not only come and to fulfill the law in every way, but his purpose in coming was to cleanse us and to save us from all our sins. And so the priest here is another picture of Christ as he goes out of the camp. And the priest shall take a look. And then, verse 3, if the case of the leprous disease is healed in the leprous person, the priest shall command him command them to take for him who is to be cleansed two live clean birds, cedar wood and scarlet yarn and hyssop. And the priest commands them to kill the one of the birds over an earthenware or clay vessel, clay pot, which contains fresh water. And he shall take the live bird with the cedar wood and the scarlet yarn and the hyssop and dip them in the live bird, in the blood of this, in the clay, the blood of the first bird in this clay pot. And he takes it, he sprinkles the person concerned seven times, the one who is to be cleansed of his leprous disease, pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird go into the open field. Now, there's a lot in there, really, and we just need to stop and pause for thought. Two birds. One that is killed, and through that bird's blood that is caught and captured in that clay pot with fresh water. And one bird and these other objects that are dipped in the blood. And all these things are symbolic for us. The two birds really are a picture of death, and the live bird that is blood-stained flies into the open field. It's a picture of death and life. Death and resurrection. And we see the significance of the objects that were pronounced and prescribed by God himself. Talks about the scarlet yarn and the cedar wood and the hyssop. When we think of hyssop, what do you think of? Hyssop was a plant that was often used for medicinal purposes, but hyssop, we think of Psalm 51 and that confession of David, cleanse me with hyssop that I might be clean, purge me with hyssop that I shall be clean. We think of hyssop when Jesus Christ is on the cross, that as they put this sponge of sour vinegar, they placed it on a hyssop branch or stalk. And so we see there that even in those moments at the cross, that objects that were used for cleansing and for purification all down through the years that God prescribed, that we see these objects as a reminder of God's work, his work of redemption at the cross for people like you and for people like me. Hyssop. And then we think of the scarlet yarn. And we think of the material that was used in the veil or the curtain of the tabernacle. And so this yarn would have been used. And then we think of the scarlet yarn. And Isaiah talks about how our sins are like scarlet. They can be made as white as snow. And so we see here that we can't just saunter into the presence of a holy God, but we are cut off and there's that veil, and Jesus Christ is the curtain is a picture of Christ, and as the curtain is rent in two, is torn in two, it's a picture of a new way a new way of approach into the Holy of Holies, a new way of approach to the very throne room of God, a new way of approach to a holy God has been made possible through the flesh of Jesus Christ, through his death on the cross, that through him a way has been opened. And then, of course, it's our sin that prevents us from approaching a holy God. And so these objects aren't just random objects, but they are objects there depicting something of God's work and his overall work of redemption. Then we think of the cedar wood. And a lot of the commentators aren't entirely sure why cedar wood. Certainly, it's known. The cedars are known for its strength, and for the cedars of Lebanon were known for and their greatness and their strength. Cedar wood is resistant to rot or to disease. And so here, the cedar wood is reminding us that the way of God is the only way, but it's because of the greatness of God and the goodness of God that we're able to approach him. And so these things are used, again, with the seat, the piece of wood, and the scarlet yarn and the hyssop, they'd be attached together, and they'd be used then. In the sprinkling process. Look at verse 7, that the person who was to be declared clean would be sprinkled seven times. And again, in Scripture, it's a reminder to us that seven is that number of completion. Here he is being sprinkled seven times. And then he shall be pronounced clean. And let the living bird go into the open field. And so death and resurrection, the bird flies into the open field and up into the heavens. And there was one who not only died, but rose again and ascended into the heaven. And so this bird is bloodstained, and yet Jesus Christ, he doesn't present to his Father in heaven the blood of bulls and goats, but he presents to him his own blood that was shed once for all for our atonement. And so these things are hugely significant and hugely important. Do you remember last week when we were in Mark chapter 1? And we read that account of the leper who approached Jesus. He said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." And Jesus said, "I am willing." And he reached out and he touched him, which we saw and noted last week was really very, very unusual. No one would dare touch or come into contact with a leper. But he reached out and he touched him. And he said, now, go and show yourself to the priest. And so now chapters 13 and 14 of Leviticus come into play. Go and show yourselves to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded you to make. And so here in the heart of this book of Leviticus, Jesus was reminding the leper that these things are depicting the goodness and the grace and the mercy of God. God provides a way for us. God provides a way. We saw this morning that even as Christians, when we fail him, he provides that opportunity where we can confess our sins and that we can know his forgiveness, his very forgiveness. Why? Because he's a gracious and merciful God. God provides a way. And we should never lose sight of the wonder of all these things that teach us that there is an invitation from heaven and from God himself to say, "Come near, draw near, and come inside." And so then we see that after he's been pronounced clean and the living bird has flown into the open field, verse 8, he shall then wash his clothes and shave off all his hair and bathe himself in water, and he shall be clean, and after that he may come into the camp. Here we have it. Imagine now, someone who was afar off is now able to come near. Those of us who by the nature of our sin and who we were afar off. But now, being pronounced clean, we can draw near. We can come inside. We can leave. We can leave the life of hopelessness, the life of pain and sorrow and distress, the life that many people, sadly, in Newport and throughout Wales and the world tonight are living. A life without Jesus Christ, a life without a knowledge and an experience of God's grace, it is a life that's empty and worthless. Only a life that's lived, someone who lives their life filled with the Spirit of God, someone who seeks to live their lives in a surrendered life, in obedience to Almighty God. Only someone who has encountered Christ and they've humbly cried to Him for salvation. Do you remember that time when you cried to Jesus for salvation? Do you remember that time when you cried to God in heaven in the name of Jesus? You were pleading for forgiveness. You were pleading for mercy. And you were pleading for mercy on account of Him, on account of Christ. You know, what do we deserve? I often say we deserve nothing from God. Well, actually, what we do deserve is an eternity being punished for our sin and rebellion in hell forever. That's what we deserve. But by God's grace, He intervenes. By God's grace, He had a plan. By God's grace, this plan was formed in eternity past so that we today and in the future might have an eternity knowing God and serving God and experiencing the real, genuine blessings of God in a new heaven, in a new earth, with new bodies, with all that will be for us. You know, it's an exciting future for the Christian. That we're not sat here, you know, petrified about the outcome of the impending general election. I was reading an article in the week that someone said, a political commentator says, well, folks, here we are. We live in a broken world, in a broken society. And our politics and our governance is broken. And we're going to end up with a government that no one really wants. Because we look at the options available and say, well, this lot's not going to honour God. Well, this lot's not going to honour God. These won't honour God. What a mess we're in. But for the believer tonight, we say, but there is hope. There is hope, and it's not about social activity. It's not about regeneration of communities. And whilst those things are good and helpful in and of themselves, what we need, what people need more than anything else, is the regeneration of their souls, the regeneration of their hearts. That they need to be in a living relationship with a living God. They need to know Christ as their friend, as their Lord, as their Saviour. That they need to know that the reason why they're here, the purpose of their existence. They need to know who they are, where they've come from, why they're here, where they're going. They need to know. And how are they going to know? Well, we don't leave it to the preachers, do we? You, each one of you, you have the divine the responsibility from God to carry out this wonderful work for Him, to tell others that there is hope. We're not going to find hope in Labour or the Conservatives or even in Reform. We won't find hope in these people. Why? Because our only hope is found. A hope for life and a hope in death and a hope for eternity is found in Jesus Christ. and in him alone. And so these things here, when the invitation pronounced clean, the sacrifices have been offered, come inside. Come inside. I've told you this story before, but I'll say it again. That there were often times when during the summer holidays, I'd be out playing in the garden. I'd come in and I'd sometimes be really grubby, really filthy, really dirty. You know, when whether it was my mum or my grandmother, depending on where I was at that time, and they would say, stop, you can't come in here looking like that. That's what Almighty God says to you tonight. Stop. You can't come into my presence as you are. There is a way to approach me. And that's through the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus that's shed for you and for me. Look on the seventh day, verse 9, he should shave off all his hair from his head, his beard and his eyebrows, and he should shave off all his hair, and then he shall wash his clothes and bathe his body in water, and he shall be clean. On the eighth day, he shall take two male lambs without blemish, one ewe lamb, a year old, without blemish, and a grain offering of 3/10 of an ephah, of fine flour mixed with oil, one log of oil. That's a measurement of oil. A third of a litre. And the priest who cleanses, verse 11, who cleanses him shall set the man who is to be cleansed and these things before the Lord. Where are they now? At the entrance of the tent of meeting. And the priest shall take one of the male lambs and offer it for a guilt offering. Now here we go. All those weeks that we spent in looking at the various offerings and what they meant, what they symbolised, what they depicted, helps us now. So, the one lamb is given for a guilt offering, along with a log of oil. And he waves them before the Lord. And he shall kill the lamb in the place where they kill the sin offering and the burnt offering in the place of the sanctuary. For the guilt offering, like the sin offering, belongs to the priest. It is most holy. So the priest takes some of the blood of the guilt offering. The work of Christ on the cross is this, that not only are we forgiven of our sins, but our consciences are cleansed. That's an important aspect of Christ's work on the cross. And here we see that the blood of the guilt offering, the priest shall put some, we've seen this before, but we'll go over it again, as it's in the text here in verse 14, he shall put some of the blood of the guilt offering on the lobe of the right ear, on the thumb of the right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot. And then the priest shall take some of the log of oil and pour it into the palm of his own left hand, and dip his right finger into the oil that is left, and he shall sprinkle some oil with his finger 7 times before the Lord. And some of the oil that remains in his hand, the priest shall put on the lobe of the right ear, the thumb on the right hand, and on the big toe of the right foot, on top of the blood of the guilt offering. Now we stop there and we think, well, what really is happening here? Again, it shows us very clearly. When we think of oil in Scripture, we often think of who? The Holy Spirit. Okay. It shows us that actually, before the Holy Spirit can be a reality for the sinner who's been pronounced clean, before the Holy Spirit can be a reality for you and for me, cleansing has to take place. The sacrifice for our guilt has to take place. There needs to be cleansing before we can know the Spirit of God. And so we now, rather before, we used to listen to things that were unhelpful. Now, with the help of the Spirit, we use our ears and we listen to things that are edifying, that are helpful. We used to do things before that were certainly against God and unhelpful. Now, we are doing things for the glory of God. Before, we used to go places that were certainly not befitting and not helpful, but used to feed and the fleshly desires and the lusts of our own hearts. But now we go to places that God takes us to so that we can listen and hear things and do things. We can certainly hear God speak to us, and that we can do his work and walk in his will and in his ways. It's a striking picture of total transformation. Now, I am a new creature. The old has gone, the new has come. Now, I've been washed. I'm clean. I can come inside. I can approach a holy God. Not because of anything I've done, but because of the sacrifice of his beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in my place, on my behalf, I can approach him. And now his Spirit becomes a reality to me. I hear him. I hear his voice pleading with my heart. I hear him speaking into my circumstances. That when I come to his word, that he is speaking to me, and his Spirit enables me to understand and to see and to know what he wants me to do and where he wants me to go. Wherever he sends, I will go. Whatever he says, I will do. We sometimes sing in that lovely hymn, "Trust and Obey," for there's no other way to be content or happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And so we see here that there's a total transformation. Not only are we clean, but now we are equipped. So we come inside. And the rest of the oil, verse 18, is in the priest's hand. He shall put on the head of him who is to be cleansed. And therefore, the whole of us is transformed. The whole of us is covered by the blood. The whole of us is indeed covered by the work of his Spirit. Look at verse 19. The priest shall offer the sin offering to make atonement for him who is to be cleansed from his uncleanness. And afterwards he shall kill. Now we have the sin offering. We've got the burnt offering. Remember what the burnt offering is? That every part of me that's been deeply affected by sin has now been dealt with, every part of me. And now I can say, I belong to him. So when he invites me to come inside, he's inviting me to come as his children, as his child. Come, he says. Look, this is your home. Look, this is your family. As we saw this morning, the church, the ecclesia, the called out ones. Look, This is my home, this is my family, and this is for you. This is what I've done for you. Come inside. One of the striking things that I noticed when I first moved into the valleys of South Wales was that everyone was very keen for me to go inside their home. So when we moved into the valleys, everyone was keen. Oh, you must come inside. And they took great pleasure and great delight to invite us into what often were very modest homes. But it was their home. Come inside. And it was their privilege. And they had very little. But they wanted to treat you to, I don't know, some Welsh cakes that had been freshly baked that morning on the griddle. Or they wanted to give you some really strong, some authentic strong tea. Have a cup of tea. Everyone drinks tea in the valleys, you know that? Have a cup of tea. Have a Welsh cake. Come inside. There is this warmth. I want you to come in. Come as you are. Come inside. Because our home is now your home, very much. And for me, coming from Gloucester, it was a very different experience. Most people that in Gloucester would keep you, what we often say, at arm's length. you know, happy to talk to you over the garden fence. Oh, we'd talk for hours over the garden fence. Would never occur to them to say, come inside. There is something very special about an open home. And I often think of an open home. It is a picture of the person's heart. An open home is a picture of often an open heart. Come and enjoy time with us. Come, we're interested in you. We want you to come and spend time. For the Christian, we will say this, if we're entering the home of another believer, we're having fellowship together. And how rich that is, that God is saying for the ones who are pronounced clean, come inside. You can come into the camp. You can come and worship. You can come and offer the sacrifices. You can come and worship me as part of a community. You can come inside. There's an invitation for you. Why? Because you're mine. You belong to me. How do we belong to him? Well, we've been bought with a price. What's that price? Well, it's not silver or gold. No, it's the price of the blood of the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see here that the wonder of God's provision for a people that God loved and loves with an everlasting love. And he makes provision. And not just for those that we see here in verse 20 that are able to fulfill the prescribed requirements of approach and come and enjoy because they are pronounced clean. But even those who have very little, God graciously provides for the poor in verse 21. And we see in verse 22 that if they don't have the lambs or the bulls or the goats, then two turtle doves or two pigeons will suffice. And God provides a way, even for those who are perhaps socially and economically poor. But it's not about your social status. It's about sinners being cleansed in the sight of God, and God saying, come to me, come inside. But also, what is true of the people was also true of the properties, which we see here from verse 33 and following, that God, again, prescribed very similar instructions for if they get to Canaan. Here at the moment, they are camped at the base of Mount Sinai. But when they come into Canaan, if they suspect they're entering a home or a house or a property that perhaps someone with leprosy or with some other serious skin complaint, or whether there is an evidence of mold or mildew or anything like that, that the priest would come and the priest would then would seal off the property for 7 days. And so we enter into a very similar set of prescribed requirements. And the whole point is this, that God wants a people for himself. As he's a holy God, as he's a clean God, then all those who come to him, all those who are part of his kingdom, all those who are part of his family, all those who can live in the presence of a holy God need to be clean. Nothing that defiles can ever enter in. But we see here the picture of the properties. And we see here that again, that the priest would have this opportunity to examine the disease. Verse 37, if the disease is in the walls of the house with greenish or reddish spots, if it appears to be deeper than the surface, just like with the skin complaints last week, if you suspect that it's not just on the surface of the skin, but the problem lies deeper, and then the priest should go out of the house to the door of the house and shut up the house for 7 days. And how they can deal with the stones, they remove stones, they take the stones and put them outside the camp. And so we see the picture, we see the cleansing of the house or property being being declared clean. And we see there, verse 52, the cleansing of the house with the blood of the bird, from the with the fresh water and with the live bird, and the cedar wood and the hyssop and the scarlet yarn. And we see it again, it's repeated. And he shall let the live bird go out into the city, into the open country. So he shall make atonement for the house. It shall be clean. God wants a people that belongs to him, a people that are clean. And Jesus, through his life and through his death and his resurrection, what does he do? He makes a way. He makes it possible for us to come inside. He makes it possible for us to approach a holy God. He makes it possible for us to belong to him. We can say this now, I belong to Jesus. And Jesus belongs to me. And so this relationship is not just for time, but it's for eternity. And so we see here how God wants to teach his people the seriousness of sin, the seriousness of their own sin, but also to teach them that how holy a God he really is. He is above all other gods. All the other gods of the nations are idols. But this God, Israel's God, neither slumbers nor sleeps. This God, Israel's God, keeps his eye upon those whom he has loved. He keeps his eye upon those whom his son has died for. And this God cares for you and he cares for me. But the whole point and the crux of the gospel is the cross. The crux of the gospel is Jesus Christ. I was in a minister's conference last week, and I heard this young man. He was very impressive. He was from the Union School of Theology. And he did a seminar, and it was very impressive. And his last sentence of his hour presentation or seminar, the very last sentence he said was, for me, the most thrilling thing he said all afternoon. And he said this, preaching that doesn't involve Christ and the cross is preaching that will accomplish nothing in the purposes of God. Think about that. Preaching that doesn't involve Christ and the cross will never accomplish anything for God. Now, of course, we need preaching on a whole range of subjects, a whole range of doctrines, a whole range of perhaps studies in the various books and letters and epistles of Scripture and the Proverbs and the historical and the narrative and the parables. We need preaching on all that. But in essence, if we don't see Christ and the cross coming through the preaching, it will accomplish nothing for God. So I ask you, when you think of Christ and the cross of Christ at Calvary, what impact does that really have upon you? What difference will that make for you this coming week? Because if it has no impact, and if it won't make any difference, if it will make a jot of difference for this coming week, then, friends, I need to say, you need to come back afresh to the cross and cry for mercy. Because his life, his death, his resurrection should impact our lives to such an extent that it changes everything. Now he walks with me. Now he talks with me. And now through life, he shows me the way to go. It's different. It's radical. It's transformational. Now I can see people from his perspective. Now I can see the world from his perspective. Now I understand. Now I understand that actually I have no control over any of the events of life, but I know one who has. And so I'm prepared to trust him. I'm prepared to entrust my life to him, to his care, to his keeping. I'm willing to commit my life to him. Why? Because he's the all-wise and knowing God. He is the God who's prescribed a way of salvation for me. And he's provided that way. It's not just a prescription, it's a reality. And Jesus left the glory of heaven. He left the throne room of heaven, and he came and he humbled himself and he was obedient to death, even death on a cross. And there he died. And when I look to Calvary with my mind's eye, with the eye of faith, I see him and he's there and he's dying for me. And if you're a Christian tonight, he's dying for you in my place. Condemned he stood. He sealed my pardon with his blood. For me, for you, if that doesn't make a difference to this coming week, then what will? Ah, we long for heaven, we long for glory, we long for eternity, we long to be in a sinless environment, we long to have new resurrected bodies, we long to be there with the angelic hosts in heaven, adoring, praising Jesus, King of love. We long. And Jesus says, hang on, there is a work for you to do. There is a work for Jesus, ready at your hand. 'Tis a task the Master, just for you, has planned. Haste to do his bidding, yield him service true. There's a work for Jesus. None but you can do. He takes care of the future. It's the here and now. And so I ask you, friend, tonight, what difference does the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ make to you? What impact has this had on your life? And what impact will it have on this week to come? If you're a Christian, it's a reminder from Leviticus 14. God says, you're clean. On account of Jesus, you're clean. Come inside. Come and enjoy the blessings now. And be ready for the many more blessings that are to come. So then you will be able to say, friend, it is well. It is well with my soul. Can you sing that? Can you say it? Well, we're going to sing it now. When peace like a river attendeth thy way. 809, it is well. I pray tonight that we can sing this and say it with all our hearts. It is well with my soul. 809.
Like a river that stands at my grave. you.